Hope you enjoy it.
I need some sleep. It can't go on like this. I tried counting sheep, but there's one I always miss. Everyone says I'm getting down too low. Everyone says you just gotta let it go. You just gotta let it go. You just gotta let it go.
That is a sad little video right there. And that little video, which, by the way, these mic stands, what you do is you loosen it here and then you lower it down, and that's kind of how I get it out of the way. And I just managed to get my finger pinched in there. I'm bleeding and it hurts. But that's okay. I'll get stitched up later. It's fine. I can just keep going. Anyways, that's a sad little video that has over, like, I think it's like 300,000 views on YouTube. It's online on the internet, and it's a hugely popular video. That's how I found it, is because I was looking for information about cable companies, and it was one of the top things on the search engine that came up. And I looked at it, I go, that's funny, I want to show that to J.Crew. That is a Comcast cable guy that went to someone's house to install cable, and the cable guy had to wait on the phone so long with the cable company that he fell asleep at the other guy's house. And so the other guy got a video camera, filmed it, and then made this anti-Comcast commercial. I don't know if you picked up on that. But I, myself, use Comcast cable for my internet and also for my cable. And so I can relate to the frustration of having to wait on cable guys. Here's what they'll tell you. If your cable gets messed up, you want to get it fixed, they'll go, yeah, we can come on this day from between 8 and 1. Is what they'll tell you. And you're like, I just sit around and wait for you from 8 to 1? Most of us go to school or have jobs, and we can't just do that. But luckily, last time my cable went out, remember the storm a couple weeks ago? My sister was in town, and so I left her at the house, and I went and did my thing. And so my sister waits around the house. Actually, it's not Comcast anymore. They switched to Time Warner. The Time Warner cable guy comes out. Who uses Time Warner? Does anybody know? Wow, a lot of y'all. So the Time Warner cable guy comes, and what had happened was, that's getting gross, by the way. It's starting to puff up, and it's disgusting. The Time Warner cable guy comes out to our house, and I got a magnificent surprise. Does anybody want to know what my magnificent surprise was when the Time Warner cable guy? No, he wasn't wearing a Comcast shirt. You see, the Time Warner cable guy, what had happened was a storm had come and my cable had been pulled out, and I didn't know where to plug it back in because I'm an idiot. I don't know how anything around the house works. But the cable guy had said, hey, do you know that you have about 50 more channels that you can get than you're using? Because I just had my TV program. I thought I just had basic cable. I have about 12 channels. Most of you guys are like, 12? I have 3,000. But I only have about 12 channels. And the cable guy goes, you have 50 more that you're not using that you have access to. And here's how Time Warner works in my neighborhood is there's two cables. And they're side by side. And they run from the little pole in my backyard into the back of my house and then into my garage. And then from my garage, they go throughout the house. And there's two of them everywhere they go. And every time, you know the little cable thing that you have to screw on? Anybody know what I'm talking about in the wall? Every time there's one of those in my house, there's two of them. And I've always wondered why. I'm like, what is that? You know, if you can't get one to work, you just use the other one. I don't know why I have to. Or if you want to do two TVs side by side so you can watch different games, I don't know. But there's two of them, and I never knew what they were for. Well, this guy tells my sister, he's like, you have access to 50 more. If you'll connect the second one to your TV, you'll have all these other channels. There's A channels and B channels, and you're only using A, and you can get B. And so I was like, I got home, and my sister told me, and I was like, sweet! Because that's how you would be, right, if you got 50 more channels. Because I'm stuck with the networks. I don't have any of the cool stuff. I don't have any of those sports channels. I have no idea what's going on in sports. Everybody's talking about fantasy football. I'm like, I don't remember what color the field is because I don't ever get to watch sports because I don't have any channels on my TV. All of a sudden, I've got like ESPN 1, 2, 9, all 700 of the ESPNs. I've got Fox Sports. I've got everything. I've got all the cool channels now. We're eating for the first time. We used to not have Food Network and we couldn't eat. Now we have that. We've started decorating our house because we have the Learning Channel and we have all the decorating things. I mean, it is awesome. We've got everything. And well, before that though, I had to hook it up, right? I had A and B, so I had to get up in the attic, which my attic's about wee tall. I'm crawling around up there. I've got nails literally scraping my back because they're coming through the roof, and I'm going, ah! And I finally got up there after four trips to Radio Shack to get all the things I need. I got the cable connected. And then I go in my house, and I plug it in, and I turn on my TV, and I'm like, it's going to be glorious! And I turn on my TV, nothing. It doesn't work. And I found out that I had a bad cord running through my house into the wall. So I'm up there climbing around the attic trying to figure out which cord is which. There's like nine of them up there, and I'm like, oh, I'm tangled up, I'm trapped. I had my cell phone with me in case anything happened. I could call somebody to get help. And Allie called me, and I didn't feel my cell phone ring, and she was away from the house. And she told me this when she got home. She actually thought I'd fallen down into the wall, and I was stuck. I don't know what the chances are of that. I mean, maybe I would fall through the ceiling. She thought I was in the wall, like, let me out! And there's like this much space in there. I'm like, babe, she was really panicked. Like, she called several times, and she got home, she was like yelling my name, David, where are you? She's like, are you in the walls? I was like, no, I'm fine, I'm right here. She thought I'd fallen in the wall. But that's the kind of doofus I am around the house. I probably could fall into the wall and get stuck in there going, ah, how do I get out? But I was crawling up. I figured out which cable was bad. I also figured out that I'm too much of an idiot to replace it. So it turns out that there's only one cable that works, and I got cable in our bedroom instead of in the front room where the TV is. So I'm like, okay, I have cable that works in my bedroom, but I don't have a TV. Well, luckily I had a TV in my garage because whenever I play ping pong, we like to have the TV on. And so I took the TV from the garage, I took it into our bedroom. So now we have all the channels we could ever want in our bedroom only. And so now our bed is filled with crumbs because now we eat every meal on the bed. We're in our king-size bed, we're like, Allie's bringing banana bread back. I'm like, that's a little crummy. It's like, that's okay, it doesn't matter, we got TV, ah. So we live, our house is pointless. We don't need our house, we live in our bedroom now because we have the glory of two cables coming in and we have all the channels. And it was magnificent. Thank you. But I lived in my house. I moved in last March of 2005. And if you don't know the date, it's September 10th, 2006. So for a year and a half, I lived in that house with all this cable available to me. The wonderful world of sports, the culture of television and food and decoration, and music videos, and all the stuff about Surrey and Tom and Katie. It was all at my fingertips for a year and a half, and I missed it. I missed it. I didn't even know it was there. I was disconnected from what was always available to me the whole time. The way my house was designed and the way my cable was designed wasn't working for me, even though everything I needed was right there. And I want to wrap up this intelligently designed series by asking you if there's anything missing in your life. And I'm going to remind you of all the ways I've told you the last 3 weeks of how God has designed us, you and me. I'm going to remind you of everything that is hardwired into us, but that a lot of times we get distracted by other things in life, or we just don't know they're there, and we miss it, just like I miss the cable. And let me tell you this. When I got cable hooked up in my house in my bedroom now, and I can wake up, and I've got a remote right by me, and I can go, ching, and I turn it on, and Toby Keith's singing to me, that's cool. Woo, Toby Keith, yeah! Who's your daddy? No, hang on. I can turn that on, and that is cool. But what God has wired into our lives and what is available to you as a 6th, 7th, and 8th grader blows cable in the bedroom out of the water. And I would trade my entire house for you guys to get what I'm going to tell you this morning. Now, let me just review the last 3 weeks. We are intelligently designed to believe in Christ. You are designed to be near to God, not just to be near to Ryan Seacrest, which I've gotten to see a lot more of the last few days, but you're designed to be near to God. Let me show you some of these verses. God chose us in him before the creation of the world. God predestined you to be adopted as his sons and daughters, adopted to be near to him, to live in his house, to get what he provides. You were once far away, but now you've been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. It is wired into us. A whole world of what God has to offer is available to us in Christ. Next, we are intelligently designed to belong to a body, to be connected to people. Remember when I told you about the universe and all the stars and the planets and the solar system and how they're all out there millions and trillions and billions of miles apart and they're spinning fast and light is moving everywhere and they're all just this vast expanse? You know what God told us? He said that we are created to be a body, and you are not a planet in a solar system out there spinning alone. But you're meant to be like what I told you our cells were like, where every cell is connected to another cell. And our skin, it's just millions of cells connected together that forms a barrier. And our body is joined together. And the Bible says that we are a body. It says in him we're being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by his Spirit. We're members together of one body. We're sharers together of the promise of Christ. We're not a planet. You are not meant to live life alone. The whole body is joined together and held together, every supporting ligament, and grows to build itself up in love as each part does its work. We are meant to belong together. We're designed to believe and be near to God who created us. We're designed to belong to a body and to be near to others, to be connected to people. Lastly, what I talked about last week, or lastly in review, was that we were designed to grow. Do you remember the pictures of my buff body up on the screen? How when I worked out, they were fake, by the way, but if I worked out for a year, I would be 50% bigger than I am now, which would be huge because I'm already just stacked, right? But we are designed to grow. We talked about the strange and wonderful changes that many of you are undergoing in an awkward word called puberty. But how our bodies are not just meant to grow, but our souls and our hearts are meant to develop and grow and mature. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians again. We're not to be infants anymore. Instead, we're supposed to grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We're to put off our old self, put on the new. You guys are intelligently designed to be like God. Stop, look at me, let me say that again. You guys are designed to be like God? Wow. We got some growing to do. The Bible tells us to be imitators of Christ as children of God. Christ came and lived this life as a man. We can imitate him and grow to be like him. He's set the perfect example for us. And guess what? I'm following Christ. I'm growing to be more like him. And I'll go out on a limb and tell you this. Be imitators of me. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But we're supposed to be growing, and I'm growing. Come on with me. See, we're intelligently designed to be near to God. We're intelligently designed to belong to a group of people, not just to be loners. And we're intelligently designed to grow and develop. And lastly, what I want to tell you about a new thought this morning before we wrap things up is that we're intelligently designed to be strong in ministry. Not just to grow up and not use our strength, but to exercise our strength and to join God's cause. And I'm going to show you a Bible verse here, and I'm going to shake up your world a little bit. I'm just going to shake it up a little bit. I'm going to tell you about something that exists in the house of your life that you might not know exists and that you're not connected to, that your heart needs to be connected to this morning. I want you to look at the screen and read these verses with me. This is all this series, by the way, intelligently designed, all these verses I put up there are all from the book of Ephesians. If you want to do a quiet time, read the book of Ephesians. It's only 6 chapters. You can read it over and over and over again. It'll never get old. It's awesome. But this is the final word of Ephesians. A final word. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. This is not written to some random priest. This is written to a group of people just like you. And look at what it says. It says that we're in a fight. Okay? Not like in a fight, like I got in a fight with Sean Wells when I was in fourth grade and I went to punch him and I accidentally opened my hand and slapped him and it was really embarrassing because he looked at me and said, "Did you just slap me?" And then everybody laughed at me and I was like, "I should have punched him." And I walked away in shame and cried in my mom's arms and it was embarrassing. We're not in a fight like that. We're not in a fist fight. We're not in a gossip fight where somebody said, God tells us this, that we have to be strong because we're in a fight that's not against people, but that there are evil rulers. There are authorities of an unseen world. There are mighty powers of darkness that, look at the screen, that what? What's the next word? Mighty powers of darkness that? Mighty powers of darkness that? Rule this world. And there are wicked spirits in heavenly realms. And let me open your eyes to something. Right now, whether you know it or not, where you're sitting, you're in the middle of a battlefield. I hear some gasps. But there's not bullets flying. There's not machine guns. There's not cannons. There's not bazookas up on people's shoulders. We are in an unseen battlefield right now. And the battle is not against terrorists like we see going on over in Iraq. The battle is not for oil. It's not for freedom. The battle is for hearts of men and women, boys and girls, just like you. And there are powers that are unseen that are fighting against, that are evil, that are fighting against powers of good. And we are called to be strong and to participate in that battle. How many people out there have little brothers and sisters? All right, almost all of you. That's amazing. Down the hall down there, there's Crossroads 45. There's probably about 100 fourth and fifth graders. On down the hall a little farther, there's probably about 150, first, second, and third graders. There's all these little kids right down the hall. Let me just tell you right now, God is trying to communicate his love to them through the dramas and the teaching and the small group leaders that are sitting with them in a little circle right now. And there are powers that are unseen, that are evil, that are trying to distract those kids and draw them away from God. During the week, when you go to school every week, you're surrounded by temptations. Every time you turn on the TV, every time I turn it on back in the bedroom, there are temptations that come up that want to pull me away from God, that tell me I need to follow a materialistic lifestyle. I need to be led by lust of my flesh. And there's a battle going on. And Paul says to you and to the people at Ephesus, you need to be strong in the Lord's mighty power because we have a fight on our hands. Earlier in this book, he says that we're God's workmanship and that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And we are not just supposed to fight for ourselves, but we're supposed to fight for others and protect others. A soldier that goes to battle is not just fighting for himself, is he? If there's an American soldier in the army, no, he's fighting for his family and his friends back home and for our entire country. And we are fighting for God's cause. And look at me, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, you are not too young to join in the fight. And I'll just be honest with you, most people my age and most adults think you are. You guys know what it feels like to go out for pizza and or to go to McDonald's, and if they have the Coke thing behind the counter and you got to go up and you got to go up to the counter and give them your cup to get a refill, and you're standing there waiting, and an adult standing here, they come up after you, but they're standing a little bit behind you, next to you, and they go to the adult first and not you. You know that feeling? And you're like, hey. Because most people don't give you guys the credit you deserve. But I'll just tell you what Paul also says to his buddy Timothy, who was a young dude. He said, don't let people look down on you because you're young. But you set an example for the other believers. And the way you live your life, and the way you love others, the way you have faith, and the way you're pure, and the way you live. And I don't look down on you guys because you're young, and God doesn't either. And what he's calling you to do is to believe in him, to be near to God, to be connected, to belong to the body, to be trained and to grow up. But lastly, guys, it's not too early. You're not a kid anymore. it's time to be strong and join in the fight. Now, you might be going, hey, David. You might be going, hey, David.
Hey, David.
We could try it again. You might be going, hey, David.
Hey, David.
How about you just yell it, okay? Hey, David.
Hey, David. Oh,
what? You might be saying, hey, David. You might be saying, hey, David.
What does that mean?
Hey, David.
What does that mean?
Let me just tell you. You don't have to be this crazy, person that you see on the movie. What's the movie called? I just went blank on it. No. Go back a slide. Let's keep it on the verses. Now you guys are going to start throwing out movies. Like these movies where there's evil demons and all that stuff that they're casting out, the exorcists and all that stuff. Yeah, not that. Constantine, yeah, stuff like that. You don't have to be some crazy cast out demons person to fight this battle. I'm going to give you three simple things you can do, and there's 100,000 more you could do. But if you want to be strong, if you want to join in this battle, here's one thing you can do. You can care about people other than yourself. You can care about the other students and kids that are around you in your school, and you can care about their situations. Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. Everybody has problems. Do you know what the problems are of the people that are around you? Because if you don't know what they are, you can't care for them. So get to know people and care about them. Because there's a battle for their soul. And you can fight for good in their life. You need to see yourself as someone that is called by God to fight for the hearts of your friends. Another thing you can do is you can be an example for little ones. I told you about the kids down the hall. You got the little starting blocks and the little creepers and the crawlers and all the little walkers and the nutcases and whatever they are out there. You've got all these little children here. I think every single one of you, it should be the norm that you get to church at 9 and you go down and you serve in the children's ministry and then you come in here at 10:45. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Look around the room, 50%. Why isn't it 100? Because you know what those people are doing? They're fighting for good and they're being strong. If you've ever done that, you're doing what we're talking about this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Mary Margaret and Jake and Ryan, they come up here on stage every week, come up here early, and they serve. And Amanda comes with Ryan. She sets up these chairs for you guys, and you don't even know what happens. They're being strong. That's kind of the last one, too, is that you care about your friends, you take care of the little ones, and then you know what you can do? You use the gifts and talents that God's given you. If you got rhythm, come up here and bang on this drum. There's no one sitting up here today. If you don't have rhythm, please don't. Okay? If you know how to play guitar, you practice, and you get up here and you serve others by leading them singing to God. It takes practice, guys. Jake didn't just come up here and magically start playing. Neither did Ryan. They came in for months and sat here in a chair in front of the stage, and they watched us play and practice when we rehearsed at 8:15 in the morning every Sunday, and they learned all the songs. Maybe you have a gift where you're artistic and you can write people nice notes and cards. Maybe you are good at sports and you need to get on sports teams for the purpose of encouraging the guys and girls on your team and inviting them to come with you to church and inviting them over to your house, and before you go to bed at the sleepover, asking them, hey, you want to pray? And then talking about God with them and loving them right where they are. You guys are called to be strong in ministry, even though you're young. So here's what I want to ask you this morning. If you have your outline, there's a little checklist on there. Is something missing? I lived in my house for a year and a half, and I didn't know that I had the wonder of cable. And maybe you've been living your life for 12, 13, 14, 15 years, and something's missing. And I want you to look at this next list here. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you near to God in your life? Or is that missing? If that is missing, God wants you to know that even though you're a sinner and you haven't paid attention to him for a long time, he loves you and wants a relationship with you. And Jesus Christ, his son, was sent to die for your sins. And all you got to say is, God, I want you to forgive me, and I want to be near to you, and I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and I want him to be my Lord, and I want to follow him. You say that, you're near to God. Is that missing? It doesn't have to be. Do you have a place to belong? Do you come in here and wander around by yourself? Do you belong in this group? Do you have friends you can look around and go, I belong here with these people? Or do you feel like you don't belong? If you don't belong, you fill out one of those info cards in the back, even if you haven't filled one out already, and you write real big at the bottom, I don't belong. And I will help you find a place to belong. It's okay. I know how it feels. I went to a church for 3 years, and I didn't know one other kid. I just knew this Sunday school teacher with a mustache, and he was like, hey, David. And I was like, all the kids hate me, and I don't care. And I just sat there, and I ate a donut every week, and I left. And it was lame. Don't let church be lame. Tell me you don't belong, and I'll help get you connected. What am I doing to be trained and grow spiritually? Are you growing? Are you being trained? Do you have one of those magazine Bibles that you can understand and read? Go get one. If you have a Bible you don't understand and you can't read, they got plenty out there. There's lots of cool Bibles for teenagers. Are you going to small group and getting trained and listening and paying attention? Are you committed to being there every week? And lastly, are you asking yourself the question, how can I be strong in God's cause? If there's something missing, let's get it connected. Dear God, I thank you for these students, and I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the direction that you're leading each of them, and I pray that you would bring them to be connected. I pray that many of them that don't feel connected would have the courage to sign up for our Pine Cove retreat and get connected in that way. I pray that your word would sink into their hearts and their lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, a few announcements before you.